I think we'd have a good turnout. But they're not going to be here. But can I tell you somebody that will be here? Jesus will be here. And that ought to be enough to draw us. And so, Lord bless you. Please open in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, we read, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son who spoke these words to minister to our hearts. May they minister to us and do what you intended them to do, and help us to rise up to be greater people of prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. There are some prayers that get answered right away, and they fit right into our culture. They fit right into our fast-paced way of life. But this sermon that Jesus is teaching about prayer, and by the way, Jesus had taught about prayer a few years earlier than this particular message. And may I just say, is there anybody more qualified to teach and know about prayer than Jesus? And if you'll recall the disciples, they must have thought that Jesus was the one that could teach on prayer like no one else. Because at the beginning of his ministry, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And we know that Jesus, on that particular day, answered their request, and we have what we know is the Lord's Prayer. But what he taught about prayer then, he doesn't teach and emphasize what he does here. And may we take note of that God doesn't teach us all about something just at that one time. He teaches us. It may be down the road he has more to teach us and to open our understanding. Because we can get deceived and maybe have heard the Lord teach on something, and we grasp it and we understand it. And if we're not careful, we will think, well, I know about it. But you don't know all there is to know about it. There is more to learn in every area in life. And so Jesus is now, a few years later, he picks up the subject of prayer once again. And we read that it starts off, although he doesn't use these words, the writer is saying this, knowing the content of what Jesus was about to teach, when it said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We do know the Lord didn't create the whole world in one day, and neither did he teach us everything to be learned in one day. And so Jesus has more to say about prayer that was not emphasized on the day he taught us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we can dissect that prayer, but nowhere will you find in that prayer what is emphasized in this one or what's emphasized in this one is emphasized in that one. Like I said, we like to read about prayers that get answered right away, especially in our fast culture that we've become accustomed to. After all, doesn't the scripture teach us? Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I don't recall reading in there that it said, call upon me and I will answer thee. It does not give a timeline. It does not say when he would answer. It does say he would answer. But if we're not careful, we will fit our culture to try to make the scripture fit our culture and our fast pace. And it is true, the Lord has given us the word that is full of instances where prayers are answered right away. We find Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. I'm sure that Daniel said, Lord, help me! And the Lord heard his prayer and answered him right away. The same with the three Hebrew children thrown in the fiery furnace. As they're thrown, I'm sure they were praying before going in, but the idea that we get is, bam, a need, and wow, there's the answer. We have the story of Solomon, who the Lord came to him in a dream and said, ask me anything you want. And we know that story well, because he did not ask for riches or vengeance of his enemy or longevity, because he did not ask of those things, but because he asked for wisdom. The Lord answered that prayer rather immediately, because when he awoke from his dream, the story then begins to unfold itself that two women came to him with the child they both claimed for their own. So that prayer, we can see, was answered rather speedily as he asked for wisdom. And then the very next day, he's tested whether he has that wisdom. And we can learn by the story that the Lord did answer that prayer and did give him wisdom. And it was rather quick. We read where Solomon, who was in the temple and built the temple, and after all of the work and all of the time and all of the energy and all of the money went in, Solomon raises his hands and asks God for his glory to fill the temple. And we read that the glory came, and it was so great that the priest could not minister. That seems to be a prayer that happened answered rather quickly. But a greater than Solomon is here. And this greater than Solomon is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is teaching about prayer. And because he is greater than Solomon, may we give him our ear to see what he says in this parable that he teaches about prayer. And Jesus, we are taught, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Fainting doesn't seem like that is one of the characteristics of a Christian, but fainting can be one of the characteristics of a Christian if we do not take heed to the words of the Lord. This word faint is used only twice in Scripture in the New Testament. There are other words that are very similar, but it is not this particular word, faint, that is used. One that comes to mind is, be not weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap if you faint not. This type of fainting that he is talking about, we think of two kinds of fainting. One kind of fainting is when you just physically faint. You're exposed to something that is greater than your senses can handle, and you faint. I'm embarrassed to tell you, I was pastoring White Salmon when I got a call of a lady in our church that had been in an accident, and so I dropped everything and went to the hospital and went into the emergency room, and there she got better, but at the time there was just blood everywhere, and I'm standing by her bed, and as I prayed for her, I opened my eyes to look, and I fainted. You ever hear a preacher faint in the middle of a prayer time? And those doctors had to come and say, Pastor, I think you better sit down right here. I was a little embarrassed, to say the least. But there's that kind of fainting when you're a bit overwhelmed by something that you see. But this kind of fainting is a different type of fainting. This is a fainting that is depicting you're getting discouraged and you're disappointed and you feel like giving up. And maybe you have given up. And he says, man ought always to pray and not to faint. It's because you've been praying and you didn't get an answer. You've prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you don't see an answer, and you can get discouraged and you can get weary and you feel, well, I've tried, there's no need, and I've and you give up. To understand this story, I think it does us well to remember that when Jesus spoke these words, women at that time were not esteemed very highly in that culture. It was much like our country. Years ago, we often hear that in our own country, women were not valued as they should be. It is interesting, even though our forefathers, we here were men that were God-fearing, etc., and that may be true, but our country had a lot to be desired when it came to putting women in their proper place and valuing them. I was looking at the statistics on this, and I knew that women were not allowed to vote until around the year 1913. How did that ever come about? But not only that, to my surprise, I was not aware that the 19th Amendment was passed just for that purpose, to give women the right to vote, that their voice does count. It is to be esteemed. But not only that, women were not allowed to attend our universities, whether it be Harvard or Yale or Princeton, Brown, Dartmouth or Columbia. These places of high learning, women were not allowed to attend. And not until 1913 did the courts turn that and open up the colleges. What a shame upon our country that they did not esteem the voice of women. In fact, it wasn't until 1981. No woman had ever sat upon the Supreme Court until Ronald Reagan appointed one. And even today, you'll hear of a time people will mention that women will do the same job that a man will do and do it just as well, but is not paid as much. And you'll have positions that are high up, CEOs, and you'll read things that will state their complaint that women are not given this same privilege and esteemed as high. And when we understand the culture of the time that Jesus spoke that, women were looked at in that way. And so with that understanding, Jesus tells there was this woman who not only was a woman, she was a widow. She did not have a husband to back her. And her problem was she had an adversary. And this adversary apparently had done her wrong, and so now she goes into the courtroom before the judge. And Jesus begins to unfold and tell us this story that she didn't have a hearing. And I'm sure that the judge looked at her less than he would have had it been a man. And so she has great odds against her as she asked the judge to avenge her of her adversary. And you can use your own imagination of perhaps what had taken place when she is before the judge and he tells her no. And she leaves. But we know from the words of Jesus a word called importunity, that she did not give up. And she continued and went back. And the judge says, I already told you no. And I imagine she went three or four times or five times. And the judge says, I told you no. Bailiff, don't allow this woman to come back into my courtroom anymore. And I can see this particular woman who is not going to give up and has got great passion in her heart, that now she finds out where the judge lives. Ha 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 ha. I don't know if you watched Gold Rush the other night, but how Parker wasn't going to be able to get any land, but because of a particular man he had working for him, he had now leverage. And when I heard that, I go, yeah, get him, Parker. But now this unjust judge, this woman finds out where he lived. And I can see her going up to his door and knocking, and him saying, what are you doing in my house? Judge, I want you to avenge me of my adversary. You get out of here. And she leaves, and she comes back. Judge, avenge me of my adversary. You can use your own imagination. But the judge finally changes his mind. And he even says, though I fear not God, and I don't even fear man, let alone this woman, but because she troubleth me, and my goodness, I go to sleep at night, and I can see her before I go to sleep. Judge, avenge me of my adversary. In my dreams, I have her coming to me in my dreams. Judge, avenge me of my adversary. When I wake up in the morning and I'm eating my breakfast, I see her in my mind. Judge, avenge me of my adversaries. And Jesus said, because of that, she got him to change her mind. And sometimes when Jesus then went on to say that not to be weary, don't give up. And how often we can get discouraged, like this woman could have been, but she kept coming. The truth is, not all prayers are answered right away. We love to hear about prayers that are answered right away, but the truth is, some of the greatest prayers are not answered right away. And if we're not careful, there are great enemies to our prayer life. One enemy can be sleep, laziness. When Jesus saw the disciples, he asked them to pray for an hour and said, what, could you not pray with me an hour? That is an enemy that we must continually fight off in our prayer life. But another enemy that will keep us from praying as we ought can be this. Well, I prayed and it didn't happen, therefore it's just probably meant to be. It wasn't meant to be. Nothing could be further from the truth. I want to say that again. Be careful of an attitude that can rise up. You know, theology is what gets us in trouble if the theology is wrong. It was wrong theology that got the devil to get Eve messed up. It was wrong theology. And it's wrong theology that can mess up our prayer life, that we are not effective as we are. And that attitude can be, well, I tried, and therefore it must not be the will of God, therefore I'm just going to accept it as is. Has anybody ever heard of God changing his mind? You say, God wouldn't change his mind, he's perfect. Oh, you don't know your Bible. You read in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, and also in the book of Isaiah, there was a king by the name of Hezekiah. And the prophet Isaiah had just been in the presence of the king, and he told him, get your house in order, king, for you are going to die. He's speaking from the Lord. And Isaiah leaves, and Hezekiah, he don't want to die. How many would agree with him? I don't want to die. And Hezekiah, he doesn't want to die. And he turns his face to the wall, and Hezekiah begins to weep. And he begins to pray, oh God, I don't want to die. And pretty soon God tells Isaiah, Isaiah, you turn back around and you go back and tell Hezekiah that I have added 15 years unto his life. And in 3 days he's going to get better. And he did. Don't tell me God don't change his mind. He changes his mind. You say, how can he be perfect and change his mind? You can ask him that when you get to heaven. But he is perfect and he can change his mind. And prayer not only changes things, but prayer can change God's mind. How often we read in the scriptures, and the Lord repented, and the Lord repented. He repented about judging Nineveh. He repented that he made man. And there is something about the mystery of it all that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And as much as Jesus felt, "Who touched me?" there is something about a passionate prayer that can touch the heart of God, that can change the circumstances in your life. And God can change his mind and give you victory where there was no victory. Hallelujah. Get passionate and say amen. You know, passion is the thing that kept this woman going. And oh, another theology. Be careful of the teachings that take passion out of your Christian walk. Be careful of things that make you think you're sophisticated and intellectual and high up, and, you know, only emotional people, only ignorant people, you know, get emotional. Listen, nothing that was ever great that was ever accomplished without passion behind it. And some of the greatest prayers are prayers that we are given the evidence as we study it. There was passion behind the prayer. I can guarantee you there was passion in this woman that says, "Judge, I have no husband. I have children to feed, and I must have this. Avenge me of my adversaries." I don't see her saying that in a real monotone, sophisticated voice, as though she's trying to reach the intellect of this judge and persuade him on intellectual concepts and argumentations. No, I think her heart cried out. And I think that as deep calls unto deep, and this judge says, "You know what's getting to this me is this woman. She keeps coming. It's her passion. It's she won't give up." Oh, may the church learn the power there is in prayer. But may it learn, never let your emotions leave your prayer life. For the Bible says, "The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That means some passion is involved in your prayer. How many know our worship ought to have passion in it? And things that we do, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with all thy might. Put some passion in it. It was the passionate prayer of Bartimaeus that said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He ignored him. He gave a message by his very body language and other things that you could read into it. Bartimaeus, can't you take a hint? He is ignoring you. He is saying no. But Bartimaeus cried the much louder, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus still ignored him. But the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, for the passion to be in the prayer life of people. I said last week, does God have your attention? Does he have the attention of your mind? Good. Does he have the attention of your eyes? Good. Does he have the attention of your hands? Good. Does he have the attention of your feet? Good. But does he have the attention of your heart? The seat of your affections, your passion. And when you pray, we're to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. Oh, God, put the passion back into our prayers. Put the zeal back into us. When it is said of Jesus, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Yes, the enemy to prayer can be a lack of passion that causes sleep. The enemy of prayer is to faint and to give up. And I want to encourage you. And I want to say, don't give up. Keep praying. Some of the greatest prayers that are answered are those where people wouldn't give up. The Bible says if we have faith, thank you, Lord. The Bible says if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed," and it will happen. It doesn't say if you have faith the size of a mountain, you can say unto a mustard seed, "Be thou removed." No. It says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. What makes that mustard seed faith remove the mountain? It's that kind of prayer the woman had that would not give up, that would not be weary in well-doing and faint. Oh, we're all tempted to faint. We're all tempted to give up. All of us know what it is to get discouraged. I don't need anybody to teach me how to get discouraged. I can get discouraged all by myself. But oh, that I might be encouraged in the Lord as David did. And so I want to just encourage you this morning. And I can say upon God's word, as it says, that this woman, she prayed. And because of her importunity, the judge changed his mind. And then obviously we know that our judge is not unjust. But he too will change his mind. And he can work in your behalf. And I pray that you will recognize that. A minister friend of mine was sharing with me how he had a son. And the son was away from the Lord. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed passionately. And the Lord finally spoke to him. And you don't want to do this unless God speaks to you. But the Lord says, I am going to save him. But I want you to, from this day forward, thank me that I'm going to save him. And he did not stop praying. He didn't quit praying. From then on, when the thought of his son came to him, he just said, Lord, I thank you. And he became passionate about it. He would rejoice as though he was already saved. He would pray as though he was already saved. That, my friend, you should only do if the Lord speaks to you and gives you a revelation as he did him. But if he doesn't speak to you, then may I take the words what Jesus said. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Debbie, would you come? The strength of the church is its prayer. And may I encourage you, he will answer your prayer. Would you stand with me this morning, please? How many have got something you've prayed about a long time? You don't have to raise your hand. Sometimes you just feel like giving up. You've done everything you know to do. I want to encourage you today under, I believe, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up. And one day, you'll be able to say like David, once I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging for bread. The Lord hath heard my prayer. This poor man, notice the passion in all of these verses. This poor man cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. If you've got a prayer you still are believing God for, would you lift that hand back up one more time? Lord, may you see these hands. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit nudge them again. Nudge them again to pray one more time. We never know, God, that one more time. Oh, God, I just sense something great. But, oh, God, may you bless the heart. And may we know you do answer prayer. You do give us the desires of our heart. And may it be done in the name of Jesus. Let's come and find a place to pray and put passion back into our prayer again. Find a place and let your heart begin to pour out to God. And the Lord, He knows. He knows, He knows. Thank you, Lord. Oh, be not weary. Be not weary in well doing. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Keep praying. Hallelujah. That's a bunch of amens.